Morning. Today, we talk of goblins and ghouls, black cats and hocus pocus, witches and warlocks, ghosts, spirits, zombies, the headless horsemen, and oh, sweetheart, big spiders. This time of year can bring out the spookiest in some people. It's October, it's that time, Halloween's coming up, and the more we think, the more we wonder. Every year on October 31st, Halloween comes around, and for many Christians, for maybe even some of us, we wonder, what do we do about it? Do we just go along? Can we still dress up? Do we go knock on doors? Do we let our kids eat the candy? If you're like me growing up, it was a little bit yes and no. We got to participate, we got to do some of the things, but it was with a little asterisk. We could dress up as a football player, as a baseball player, as maybe a construction worker, Bob the Builder. Maybe for you it was a princess. Maybe for you you got to dress up and you got to be a farmer, a doctor, a mechanic. Maybe when you grew older you got to hand out candy. Maybe you had get-togethers with some friends. Maybe you just shut off the porch light and wait until October 31st is over. This time of year focuses on a lot of things, and it forces us to deal with and think about some things that the world socializes that aren't as cuddly as bunnies or jolly guys on a sled. Instead, this time of year brings with it a worldly celebration of death. With the worldly celebration, it brings with it a worldly definition of what death looks like. Halloween has formally been celebrated in one form or another for about 2,000 years. It goes all the way back to a Celtic tradition to preserve their crops by warding off evil spirits. And from that time on, it has turned again and again to one form or another, to one culture or another, to one observance or another, to bring about rituals for the dead. So what does all of this have to do with the Bible? What does this have to do with God? Is there anything to a holiday for kids getting dressed up and having some fun? Can a Christian celebrate Halloween? Those are some of the questions that we're going to be focusing on and exploring in this series and throughout this month. But where we want to start today is in a truth that I hope that we will take with us and carry with us throughout the rest of this series. It's this reality of superstitions defeated. Because as we go and as we start with this topic, as we explore all the muddle surrounding it, we can take comfort and courage in the fact that God is greater, God is bigger, God is higher, God is more powerful than anything this world can throw at us. And if we talk about ghosts or spirits or demons, through it all, we have nothing to fear. We're reminded of this in Romans chapter 8. If you have your Bibles with you, I hope you'll open up to Romans chapter 8. And we're going to be starting in verse 31. And in this, God's word says in Romans 8:31, says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, he who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But no, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You see, the truth that we focus on, the truth that we face, the first thing that we see is that God has already won. In fact, Paul is so confident, he says, if God is for us, who can be against us? The reality is, there's no competition. There's no competitor when it comes to facing off against God. There's no one on his level. There's nothing that can stand. If anyone, anything, any power tries to square off against God, there is no competition. God is the God above all others. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. Job 26 says it in an amazing way. It reads, he spreads out the northern skies over empty space. He suspends the earth over nothing. He wraps up the waters in his clouds, yet the clouds do not burst under their weight. He covers the face of the full moon, spreading his clouds over it. He marks out the horizon on the face of the waters for a boundary between light and darkness. The pillars of the heavens quake, aghast is his rebuke. By his power, he churned up the sea. By his wisdom, he cut Rahab to pieces. By his breath, the skies became fair. His hand pierced the gliding serpent. And these are but the outer fringe of his works. How faint the whisper we hear of him. Who then can understand his power? If that's the God who loves us, if that's the God who's for us, then who can be against us? If that's the God who holds you in his hands, what do we have to fear? If this is the God who gave his son to die on the cross, then what worries you about the things in this world that go bump in the night? And here's the thing, when those little bumps in the night turn into whispers in your ears that tell you that you aren't good enough, that you've messed up too much, that God can't forgive you, when they turn into the things that are real in this world, like the spiritual battle that's going on inside each of us to choose God or to choose this world, we know that God is the all-powerful God who made the world and all that's in it, but we also know that we have a Savior in Jesus Christ who gave up everything so that we can have life by giving his. So who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen, justified, who Christ has died for? Romans 8 asks, who then is the one who condemns? And it answers right away, no one. John 3:17 says that Jesus answered, he said, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Through Jesus, we have hope that in him we are not held to our sin, but instead we give it to him and he is able to defeat it. Once and for all. But wait. Didn't we just say that Jesus died on a cross? Didn't Jesus look like get defeated? See, this is exactly why we have nothing to fear. Because of Jesus, death has no power. Yes, Jesus died. But I can stand here confidently saying that he didn't stay dead. There was a third day. There was an empty tomb. There was a broken seal. There was an angel's announcement to go and tell the other disciples. There were meals shared. There were 40 days where over 500 people saw Jesus alive on the other side of the grave. You see, this world celebrates death. We remember death and celebrate life. For each of us, we live now facing death. For the disciples in the early church, along with many Christians still today, this was all too real and common. What Paul says in Romans 8:36, as he quotes back to the Psalms, he says, "For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." He said that and he meant that. He faced that every single day. Many Christians today face death all day long. They look at the scrap of a scripture that they have. They think of speaking the name of God, and they know that jail time, that persecution, that the sword, that a gunpoint is facing them. But there is hope on the other side of that statement. He uses that to say, if death can't deter us, if hardship, famine, persecution, humiliation, danger, sword could not stop our Christ, then what do we have to fear? He says this looking to what Christ did. And for Paul, he takes up this whole identity and who Christ was, and he recognized that Jesus is our precursor and our justifier. You see, we are more than conquerors through him. Remember where that is from. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. It is from him, it is through him, it is in him that we find justification and that we find our righteousness. It isn't from ourselves, it isn't from our works or our knowledge, it isn't from the sacrifice that we make, it's from the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And we can live in that, knowing that Jesus made the sacrifice, but also Jesus was raised again. And we know that Jesus is the one who brings us our righteousness, but Jesus is also the one who brings us our life. So whatever we face, whatever happens, we can have hope and a future. So Paul can look at these things, and we can look at all these things, the death, the life, the angels, the demons, the powers, the heights, the depths, the present, the future, all of creation. And we can say with confidence that nothing, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, we can look at the superstitions of this world. We can know that they are defeated. They're done. They cannot stand in the face of our Savior. So as we move on, as we walk through this month and this season, as we see the celebration of death around us, let's remember death. Let's celebrate the life and the victory in our Savior. There may be some bizarre things out there. We can take comfort knowing that superstitions are defeated. Will you pray with me today? Lord, we come to you with everything going on in the world around us. God, the fear that surrounds, the turmoil that surrounds, the confusion that surrounds. God, we take comfort in you. God, if you are for us, then who can be against us? God, we know that there is no one, that there is no thing, that there is no power that can separate us from your love, and we thank you for that love. That love that sent your Son to die on a cross for us, that we may have life with you. God, we remember his death, but we celebrate the victory in his life, that on the third day he rose again, and God, we celebrate in that. God, for us today, whatever fear there may be, let it be replaced with the confidence in knowing that we are more than conquerors through your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, as we go out, help us to show that confidence and that light in the midst of a dark, dark world. Lord, we love you. And God, we praise you. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.